It's that time on the radio where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are we today, Bill?
Hi, Howard. Very well, thank you. A busy week, as you know, the gyrations of the international equity markets have been bouncing up and down like a yo-yo, so it has commanded a much greater level of detailed attention than perhaps would normally be the case. But that's one of the excitements of working in this business for our private clients.
Yes, so today let's have a look at the market outlook as the lockdown is being lifted bit by bit. Investors must be wondering how lockdown being lifted across the world could help the economy and in turn the stock markets. So let's examine this topic today. Bill, how have investment management companies coped with the COVID-19 related market volatility and what steps have they taken to protect their clients?
That is a very good question. The whole of the investment management industry, of course, has been running around not quite like a headless chicken, but you get the drift of it when you see how volatile the markets have been. At Blevins Franks, I think we've covered this many times, but just to remind our listeners, Blevins Franks do not manage the money for their private clients directly. Our skills and expertise is based upon finding systems by which we can access the most successful investment managers in the world and ask those professionals to look after the money on behalf of our clients. And of course, we then monitor them and we monitor the underlying investments to make sure that they're on track with whatever it is the client's objectives are and within that client's tolerance to risk. So one of our key components that we use is the Russell Group. They don't manage money directly, but their skill again is to find the best managers in the world and then refer them to Blevins Franks so that we might use them on behalf of our clients. And it's pretty clear that over the last 4 or 5 months, there hasn't really been a playbook, if you like, for COVID-19. We haven't seen anything like this pandemic before, at least not for these reasons. But I think overall, the investment management businesses have applied the closest lesson to that, and that is what they learnt from the global financial crisis in 2008, and applying that to this new crisis in terms of its general approach has been, I think, fairly successful. I know that, for example, the Russell Group, who select the best investment managers for the private clients of Blevins Franks, they set up what they called a war room. They instituted a cross-functional team of the leaders from the investment side, from the operations side, obviously from their compliance angle and their lawyers, meeting on a daily basis, like an investment management cobra meeting almost. And that, in the most volatile times, meant that the team was able to focus on the operational issues to ensure that all of the funds in which our clients are invested met what are called the margin calls. That means that when people wanted to cash in, they could easily get their cash, and to make sure that there was enough liquidity within the investment funds that the clients invest in to allow for the automatic rebalancing which takes place. So that, for example, if at one point in time a market had fallen by a certain amount, it may be needing to supplement it as an opportunity investment. On the other hand, if an investment went up beyond its limits, then it obviously needs to be sold out and rebalance the portfolio. So we had to make sure that there was enough liquidity for that. And that within the equity area of the client's investments, which often form a major component of the client's portfolios, the general effect of the Blevins Franks investment expertise was to reflect upon the value sector rather than the growth sector of the markets. And the research teams at Russell and the portfolio managers that we use outside of Russell all revisited our personal strategic belief in value funds and finding out, and by value funds I mean funds which we believe, whatever the pricing at that moment in time, represent an underpriced opportunity for investment. And so we found ourselves even more convinced, I think, that by following a value-based approach, by looking for investments which had fallen in value to a point at which they were almost compulsory purchases because they looked like unenviable value, from that, I think our clients will see significant returns from their active management position, and we expect value, you know, to come back strongly as investors once again begin to discriminate between firms' investments in the stock market based upon valuation. Valuation will out, I think, in these circumstances. And we've seen a huge fall in markets. Looking at the FTSE and the S&P 500, both of them were down at their worst point by around 35%. And since hitting that low point, they have all bounced back to very close to their all-time highs. The S&P 500 almost on its high recently, and the FTSE 100 approaching within something like 13 or 14% of its high at the beginning of the year. So whilst it has been fairly dramatic, matters have kind of reversed a lot in the last few months, and all the time that those changes are going on in the market, the investment managers are working to rebalance and make sure that wherever there's an opportunity, either to sell or to buy, that they take that opportunity to ensure that our clients' investment portfolios stay on track with their objectives given the market circumstances.
What have governments been doing to help their economies, and do you think this will make a big difference moving forward?
I think governments have had an unenviable task, Howard, over the period of the pandemic. They have, I think, three key judgments to make. One is moral. What do we do to slow down the deaths from COVID-19? What positions are we prepared to take and accept in relation to the confirmed cases in proportion to the amount of deaths that occur? They've got an economic judgment. How much do we lock down? How tight do we lock down? And for how long to protect the spread of the virus? But to balance that with, we need to get the economy going again at some point in time. How are we going to manage that? And the third and final judgment, and one which I'm afraid sometimes overrules the other two, is the political judgment. What can we do that will continue to keep us popular in the public's eye so that we are elected next time round? But this current crisis comes with a new complexity as the economic policy decisions made by governments have needed to be balanced with those health concerns, moral concerns. The policy intervention by governments around the globe is frankly unprecedented, and no one has ever seen actions and market movements leading governments around the world to flood the economy with additional liquidity, funding and financial programmes to both help people and businesses, business loans, furloughing staff, that sort of action. They've been quite historic in both timelines and in magnitude, even compared to the statement by Mario Draghi, who in 2008 for the ECB, the European Central Bank, said they would do whatever it takes. As at late April, the total global fiscal stimulus was already over $8 trillion, of which the United States had pumped more than a quarter of that into their economy. And in addition to that critical financial and fiscal stimulus, both the Federal Reserve Bank and the European Central Banks have categorically stated that there are no limits to the support they will offer to the global economy. The benefit of that is that they have dampened down the impact. They are helping the recovery. There's an amazing amount of liquidity in the air to support the markets at this time. But of course, the other side of that silver lining is the dark cloud of the fact that all of that money at some point in time has got to be repaid. But we can perhaps talk about that later.
Do you think the economy and stock markets have passed the worst, or do you expect more uncertainty ahead?
This is a strictly personal view, not necessarily the one of the Russell Group or our other investment advisors. But I personally think we have passed the worst. I think the worst was passed in mid-March. An incredible bounce back in the markets since mid-March. If you look at the critical data of about the 23rd of March, that the UK FTSE, for example, was down by 35%. And at this weekend, from that low point, there has been a recovery of 31%. So I think you can say that was the worst. That is, of course, assuming that we do not get a huge second wave of infections and deaths, which lead governments to lock down, because the markets in that area of uncertainty will perform in much the same way. Now, I do expect that there will be increased volatility over the coming 9, 12 months, because this is going to bounce in and around various economies of the world. But I think that governments have now got a hold of this, generally speaking, and I think the markets have got greater confidence going forward that governments have now pretty much worked out how to get this under control. Let's not forget This was a brand new experience for everybody. And whilst there are criticisms, justified criticisms to be made, everybody, I think, has done what they felt was the best thing in the circumstances. It may not always have been the best thing, but that was what they intended to do. The circumstances are such that I actually feel that whilst there is uncertainty going forward, there is greater certainty now that there's more control over the situation. As a consequence, I think we are past the worst when there wasn't that certainty over the management of the pandemic. I think it's now capable of being managed, as I say, assuming we don't get an enormous second wave. That is to be tested now that relaxation on restrictions is being allowed. We shall have to wait and see. But I think going forward, there's more silver linings to what has been a very dark cloud in the markets.
So, Bill, do investors need to worry about a recession?
I think you do need to worry about a recession. A recession can never be good news for investment markets. The economic carnage inflicted by the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic has been real and somewhat horrific. As an example, over 40 million Americans have filed originally for jobless claims since mid-March when the US economy went into lockdown just to slow the virus down. That has eased off since. I mean, I think that's the highest US unemployment rate since the Great Depression of the 30s. So, of course, it is necessary to be concerned. I mean, there's some evidence now that really only about 10% of the Americans who filed for jobless benefits feel that their job loss will be permanent. And, of course, the US economy in particular has this dynamic of recreating itself so vividly and so fast over many experiences in my investment life that I suspect that we will be seeing the positive side of the growth in the American economy for some time. You wouldn't really know it by looking at the stock market right now, but the major benchmarks in the US and the UK have clawed back a huge percentage of their first quarter losses. And we're back to levels, frankly, of trading activity positively seen early in March. So I think we are, in a sense, past the worst of it, as I mentioned a moment ago, but we aren't past the worst of the impact of a recession. There are a number of recessionary warnings. GDP in the US and Europe and the UK is going to suffer greatly, and that will inevitably impact upon markets. Profits for businesses in which clients are invested are bound to be hit because they've been shut down. And frankly, what we need now is stimulus in the public arena for them to go back into a spending mode, out of isolation. And there's some evidence that that is already beginning to happen in this early stage of the relaxation of the restrictions. So I think whilst we should be concerned about recession, I think the recovery from this recession is already, in a sense, underway. And I think the performance of many of the companies in which our clients are invested through the funds that they're offered as an investment medium, the performance over the last couple of months in an upwards, almost continuous upward spiral in most cases. I mean, not all funds perform in the same way. It will depend which market you're looking at. But I think it's pretty clear that what was the foothills of a recession has now been passed, and we are beginning to move forward. And as businesses open up again, we will be able to determine more readily the recessionary impact, but it looks to me rather like we're going to be better off than you might have thought in the first place, because I think the recovery will be quite speedy.
How are investment companies preparing for the months ahead?
I think, the first factor likely to be driving market performance now is the widely held belief of better news to come. I mean, I think that's pretty much obvious. And to be clear, I don't think that's an unfounded or an overly optimistic expectation. I mean, the avalanche we had initially of bleak economic data that's been rolling the world over for the past few months, I mean, that is a direct result of the necessary government-mandated economic lockdowns that spread from east to west, in a sense, throughout February and March. And when businesses and factories are shut down, jobs are lost, consumer spending plummets, an economy is therefore brought to a standstill. And it's going to look just as bad on paper as it does in real life. And that's exactly what's happened over these past few months. Importantly, however, The global economy isn't any longer, as I just mentioned when we talked about recession, it's no longer at rock bottom. Starting in April, the European countries began easing their lockdown restrictions and slowly reopening in a piecemeal fashion. And that trend has spread to the US in May, with all 50 US states now in the process of partially reopening as well. As the economy begins to rebound, so too will the economic data improvements come about. There's going to be improvements, I think, in manufacturing and services. As more businesses reopen, the pace of job losses is definitely going to continue to slow. Consumer confidence, as I mentioned earlier, should also slowly pick up and spending will begin again. And that's been evidenced by the latest surveys coming in from consumer spending. I mean, a slightly more confident consumer will be likely to spend a bit more, granted perhaps not anywhere near as high as pre-pandemic levels, but they're certainly going to be spending to a higher level than what was observed at the peak of the lockdown when people were unable to get out and spend their money. Simply put, the more an economy reopens, the more the overall data going forward will improve. And it's this expectation, Howard, of better economic data that we believe is going to propel the markets forward over the next year or two.
But what about individual investors, Bill? What should they be doing now to protect themselves from potential volatility while also putting themselves in a position to benefit from market recoveries?
I think that is going back, without sounding trite, going back to the philosophy that we've discussed many times in these brief radio interviews. At the outset, Blevins Franks set up clients' portfolios for longer-term investment. We have always believed in time in the markets beating timing. As an example of that, had an investor been frightened by the plummeting markets that occurred up until mid-March and had run for cover, they might have sold out their investments, referring back to the FTSE 100 index, at a loss of 35% on that index. Whereas had they remained invested until now, that loss of 35% would not have materialised and they would simply only now be down by a relatively small percentage, because there has been a phenomenal recovery given that there's more certainty over the management of the pandemic globally speaking. Now, you know, the coronavirus pandemic has dealt a crippling blow to the world. It's created untold suffering and deaths reaching every corner of the globe. And with these government-imposed shutdowns to control the spread of the virus, during April, the world economy was actually on its knees. But now with more of the globe entering this reopening phase, I'm certain that rock bottom has already been reached. Now, assuming the spread of the virus remains under control, as I mentioned a moment ago, the economy now has nowhere to go but up. That's the big if, though. And the potential of a second wave of infection remains, you know, far and away the biggest threat to the economy and the markets. Now, the message to investors who have established their portfolio with sound, independent advice in line with the aspirations and objectives that they have suggested they have, they should sit still and sit tight on what they have, because time will recover the values for sure. If a client is concerned about the current circumstances of the economy or their particular investments, of course they should speak to their investment advisor. The simple fact of the matter is most portfolios won't require any major adjustments, because despite the fact that we did not foresee this pandemic, nor did anybody, the circumstances are such that the markets will outperform the pandemic. When the pandemic gradually begins to fade away, and that's already happening, and as we've seen, the moment it started to get under control, the markets bounced back by phenomenal sums over a period of just a few weeks. So I don't think it's sit still and do nothing necessarily, but it's not far from that. And I think it's important, if you are concerned, to call your local Blevins Franks advisor, if you're an investor with Blevins Franks, to talk about your concerns, because I'm sure that that sort of conversation will give you greater confidence. If you're not a client of Blevins Franks and you'd like to discuss, of course, how you might position yourself now to take advantage of the current opportunities and to protect yourself against any further declines in market values, then please don't hesitate to call the local Blevins Franks office. Of course, they'd be very happy to talk to you.
Well, Bill, there are so many professionally managed investment funds to choose from. So how do people choose which are the best investment companies to trust with their savings?
very challenging question. I mean, Blevins Franks have been giving advice to British expatriates around Europe for the last 40-odd years with great success. We, as I say, do not manage the funds directly. We are independent financial advisors managing wealth for our clients in conjunction with investment management. We hook onto that tax planning at a very sophisticated level to ensure that if you make money from your investments, you keep as much of it as is legally possible. We are, however, blessed with a number of investment research houses who are out there trying to select the best investment managers in the world, and then we buy in that information and use those best investment managers for the benefit of our private clients. And so the way to go about getting the best of your portfolio is to get independent, objective advice in line with your aspirations and objectives and in line with your risk tolerance, and then for a company like Blevins Franks to bring to bear on all of the factors that sit around your personal circumstances the most appropriate range of investment choices managed by the best managers in the world. And that's what we aim to do, and that's has been proving successful for Blevins Franks and its clients for, as I say, just over 40 years.
And how can our listeners get in touch with you, Bill?
I think the first port of call, if you are an existing client, is you'll have contact details. You can make that contact direct with your normal private client advisor or your partner or senior partner. If you're not a client of Blevins Franks, I think to introduce yourself to the business at the first level, the website is a good point of entry. www.blevinsfranks.com will get you into that website, and you can have a look at a wide range of issues there. And it will also contain information about the local representation, local offices with telephone numbers. And if you want to make a call, please do so. As I say, the guys in the offices will be very pleased to hear from you.
Well, many thanks, Bill. We'll chat again at the same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care. Have a good week.